Welcome to the Government Technology Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Hunsaker. In this episode, I sat down with Brian Shrumsky, Managing Partner, 5G Public Sector at Verizon Business Group, to uncover the ways that the Department of Energy is embracing wireless technology, ramifications for the future, and how the DOE is overcoming any challenges. With a legacy of innovation and commitment to scientific discovery, the DOE stands ready to lead the charge in advancing the landscape of infrastructure modernization and starting with advanced wireless technology. First and foremost, I wanted to thank you, Brian, for joining us today, and I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you, Lucas, for the opportunity.
Now, for our first question, 5G technology is often touted for its transformative potential. What are some of the potential implications and opportunities for the Department of Energy's operations and mission objectives with respect to 5G? And how is the department preparing to leverage this technology?
Yeah, great question. We get very excited talking about 5G, obviously being a large domestic carrier here, but specifically for the Department of Energy, they're looking at 5G to do a couple different things, right? To have one ubiquitous infrastructure that can actually support a campus environment, for instance, at a DOE facility, right? So providing robust coverage both indoor and outdoor of the facility, specifically to support their day-to-day operations. So think tablets, smartphones, right? Things that we're very familiar with from a cellular infrastructure. But more importantly, it starts to push the art of the possible. And what I mean by that, it gives the platform and that infrastructure to enable certain things, right? So if you want to do use cases like augmented reality, edge compute, right? High computation, and you want to put it at the edge, 5G allows that to actually happen. And that's some of the things the Department of Energy is looking at, right? They have very large facilities, not just in terms of physical buildings, but if you look at the geographic area that they serve, it is literally in the square miles. So having one infrastructure that actually will support the dynamic use cases, both indoor facility, outdoor facility, if they're doing some testing, for instance, one of their many ranges out there, 5G gives them the capabilities to actually have high bandwidth and very low latency. And that's what's getting the Department of Energy very excited about 5G technology. And as I mentioned before, having one platform that can support their research and development requirements, but also supporting their day-to-day operations is really cool, right? We really haven't had infrastructure that actually enables all those capabilities.
Brian, could you elaborate on the concept of wireless business internet capabilities and its relevance within the context of the Department of Energy's activities?
So wireless business internet, or something that we call here at Verizon, as well as the industry, is also referred to as fixed wireless access. And what this is, it's actually one of the darlings for 5G. We've seen this not only in Department of Energy, but across the country where, you know, we don't have broadband everywhere, right? And wireless business internet, or also known as fixed wireless access, gives the ability for agencies like DOE to actually provide broadband access in very remote areas, in secondary locations, in terms of backup, in terms of primary connections, which will be traditional terrestrial connections. So agencies like DOE are very excited about wireless business internet or fixed wireless access. For instance, if you had a testing facility at one of their many ranges, and, you know, we see this today where they set up a tent, they want to do some research, but they need internet, right? And this is where fixed wireless access comes in. The ability to actually have a router or a gateway device actually provide connectivity, but also being the endpoint or last mile connectivity, it can actually support many different use cases. Just, you know, raw internet communications is very easy, but we're also using it for things like SD-WAN backup. We also use it to power Wi-Fi, right? So for instance, if they have different sensors or different devices that might not be cellular enabled, we could actually use fixed wireless access or wireless business internet gateway device. So cellular is coming down to that gateway device. And then from that device itself, you're actually broadcasting out Wi-Fi, right? So it gives the flexibility in supporting multiple devices, not just cellular enabled, but more importantly, things that might not be cellular enabled as well. So we see many different use cases. I would say science and research being one, also remote locations, or also we're seeing a lot of use cases around, especially DOE, when it comes to meter reading, right, is a perfect example that we do for the DOE today. We used to use legacy plans. You might have heard like machine-to-machine plans or IoT plans. Those are being replaced with things like fixed wireless access rate plans or wireless business internet. So great use case example with DOE. Backup. What I mean by that, as I mentioned before, so primary connections, probably by fiber or other means, using this as a secondary, but also TDM replacement, right? We have a lot of analog or copper or POTS lines out there that we need to replace. And we actually see wireless business internet / fixed wireless access being a very good conduit to support the mission of the Department of Energy.
So as the landscape of wireless connectivity continues to evolve, what are some emerging trends or technologies that the DOE is closely monitoring or actively exploring for potential integration into its wireless strategies?
A couple ways I can answer that. One, just the basic blocking and tackling. We see a lot of the Department of Energy locations and the personnel upgrading to 5G devices, right? So we're going through that migration path right now. So this will be your traditional smartphones, your iPads, but more importantly, we're starting to see more connected laptops actually having 5G technology, right? So enabling the current ecosystem of end devices from 4G to 5G, we're seeing that migration. And the second part of that is actually we're starting to see Department of Energy want to modernize their infrastructure, right? So actually having 5G coverage, right, both inside the facility and outside the facility, right? Some of that is coming off the commercial network. Some of that's being purpose-built. Another area that we see Department of Energy incorporating 5G and some of the conversations we're having is around 5G private wireless network, right, where that's a purpose-built, where we actually start bringing things from edge compute that the Department of Energy has their applications and they want to move closer to the edge. And we're actually building out 5G there as well. So, and then as we just talked about, some of the specific use cases is around wireless business internet or fixed wireless access. That's also starting to ramp up as well. So I look as a multi-layer approach, if you will. So it's actually having 5G connectivity both inside and outside the facility or that campus environment, providing that either commercial coverage or private wireless coverage. And then at the end of the day, you build out these networks. How does Department of Energy actually enable them? What I mean by enable them, how do we get devices on there? We need the actual end devices to actually be 5G capable, right? So we're seeing that continue here across all the DOE facilities across the country.
How does the Department of Energy balance the need for cutting-edge wireless technologies with the practical considerations of budget constraints and legacy infrastructure?
You know, one of the things I've been doing this going into my 25th year of Verizon and mobility, and obviously budget constraints, the average person touches their smartphone on average around 360 times a day. So one of the things that we talk about, there is not another piece of equipment that a Department of Energy IT shop or organization will issue to an employee that they will use more than their mobile device, not their laptop, not their ID badge, you name it. It's that mobile device, right? We're starting to see the Department of Energy as well as other agencies adopting a mobile-first strategy. And when you look at a mobile-first strategy, we understand and they understand that mobility is critical, right? As we emerge from the pandemic and having robust connectivity, it's not an afterthought. It's a necessity, right? So we see mobility ratcheting up in terms of that budget stack. But the most important thing here is you get the most bang for the buck, right? So if you start looking at what you actually spend in terms of, if you look at that spend pie here, Department of Energy, mobility will actually probably be one of the smallest slivers if you actually look at it, with the greatest return in terms of use, reliability, but also, you know, what the employees depend on day in and day out, right? If their badge doesn't work, that's one thing, right? If their phone doesn't work, you know, people start to freak out, if you will, right? They're just so reliant on it. And we start seeing agencies, both in their inner office communications, meaning that their IM originating emails, we're starting to see a greater percentage. I don't have the exact numbers for DOE, but I would suspect that around 70 to 75% of all emails are probably originated or read first on the mobile device, right? So that's been happening for the last couple of years, but I would say the pandemic has really put some gasoline on that. really having mobility at the forefront, right? So to have cutting edge technology at a low and fair price, but also serve multiple needs. So, you know, using it not just for your connectivity, your smartphones, your tablets, your laptops, but also keeping the price point by replacing legacy services with fixed wireless access / wireless business internet. It's a really good business proposition and a great ROI for a lot of agencies going into a mobile-first strategy.
Now, in the realm of in-building solutions, how does the DOE ensure seamless wireless connectivity across its facilities, especially in environments with unique challenges such as laboratories or nuclear facilities?
Great question. And one of the things I'm very excited about and what Verizon has done since we were formed in 2000, we have a lot of expertise. We have a lot of expertise of building infrastructure, not only for Department of Energy, but also more importantly, similar-like facilities, not just in government facilities, but also in enterprise, right? So we work with a lot of the leading energy companies on the private side, where we've actually built infrastructure, interaction with that infrastructure, not only from coal, electric, or hydro, but also nuclear propulsion or nuclear generation. Similar to here, what we're seeing in the Department of Energy and our recommendation is having that mobile-first strategy. And that strategy is making sure that we have ubiquitous coverage. And to have ubiquitous coverage is also to have indoor coverage, right? You know, we could build as much as we want outside of the four walls in terms of our commercial and our macro coverage. But obviously from environmental, but also knowing the mission at some of these DOE facilities, there's countermeasures that prohibit RF to penetrate in that building. So we want to make sure that we actually have ubiquitous coverage within their security parameters, as well as having detailed architecture and going down to the bit level on actually how we deliver the packets of data and does it fit within their security model, right? So there's multi-level of checking to make sure that anything that we do inside as well as on the property in terms of the campus environment. And as I mentioned, the campus environment's not just a couple square blocks, it's literally, in some cases, hundreds of square miles. How do we have a consistent security parameter? How do we have a consistent experience? And also enabling not only for today's requirements, but more importantly, this infrastructure is designed to last, you know, 1, 3, 5, and in some cases, 10 years. That's where the Department of Energy really gets excited, having, you know, a platform that can not only deliver what I need today, but also being flexible to have indoor and outdoor requirements, having sensitive areas I have to build around, which we have expertise of doing that for a lot of agency in the federal government, including DOD. And then at the end of the day, they really get excited about them, but it really starts working with that particular energy lab or that DOE location and understanding their physical requirements, but more importantly, understanding your security requirements and vetting that through their security office to make sure.
Could you outline the evolution of wireless connectivity strategies within the Department of Energy, particularly regarding the shift from BYOD to GID strategies?
It's not just the DOE, but I'd say the greater federal government. When we first started doing this, we found out that government agencies really issued mobile devices. When I say mobile devices, these are non-smartphones, so just think, you know, your back in your day, your clamshell phones, right? And then obviously with the advent of the BlackBerry device and as the iPhone came around and, you know, you see more manufacturers like Samsung, Motorola, Google as well, we start seeing this shift. And what happened was only a certain level of people, you know, in terms of rank and title or certain requirements, emergency services really had that connectivity, right? And when it started moving to the rank and file, agencies started looking and saying, hey, this area is becoming more prevalent. It's more important, but we didn't allocate budget for this. So one of the ways of kind of getting a handle on this and trying to satisfy the financial requirements, but also the employee requirements, they want to be connected. The strategy at the time was that BYOD, right? Would we allow somebody with a personal device to get access to certain applications? That was, I would say, a stopgap in my opinion. But now, just because of security concerns, how prevalent, and as I mentioned before, as they adopt the mobile-first strategy, they want to own that end-to-end, you know, ecosystem, right? So providing the connectivity through somebody like Verizon, but more importantly, issuing the device. So it's not just, you know, having access to the application. They want to have access to the device, right? There's certain requirements in terms of archiving information. They really want to have control, right? So similar to, issuing a laptop, right? You don't really see a BYOD strategy when it comes to a laptop from a federal agency, right? Well, if I tell you that you use your cell phone or smartphone 360 times, you probably don't use your laptop as much. You should adopt the strategy from your laptop or another government-issued device, right? And also what we see is as the prices have come down dramatically over the last couple of years in terms of cost for wireless services and the cost of devices, that BYOD strategy coupled with some of the security requirements from the agency has kind of gone away, right? So they've fixed the problem of procurement in conjunction with a great strategy in terms of security and securing the mobile end device. It's really proliferated devices. But I would say on average, we've seen that migration where I would say 10 years ago, you had a very small percentage of your large employee base having a mobile device issued by the agency, where today, I would say in some agencies, including, I wouldn't be surprised at some DOE labs, every employee has been issued a government-issued mobile device. So it's a big change.
Collaboration and partnership are often crucial in advancing wireless technologies. So how does the DOE engage with industry partners, academia, and other government agencies to stay at the forefront of innovation and ensure that its wireless strategies remain cutting edge and effective?
You know, one of the things I think gets lost in the shuffle, and, you know, when you hear Department of Energy, it's, you know, a lot of times they think about producing energy. And if you look at what the mission is, Department of Energy, and specifically the energy labs, in some cases that is true. But more importantly, it's a lot of research and development. And what we have done in terms of Verizon is really push the envelope, right? What I mean by that, Department of Energy, not to put words in her mouth, but I would say the collective federal government from a national importance or where we stand on a social economic platform in terms of the world, 5G is a cornerstone for that. Right. And I jokingly say this all the time, and I apologize for repeating myself, but when we launched 4G in 2010, Uber and Lyft and Airbnb weren't even considered. Right. And if you look at what those three collective firms and that shared economy in terms of what the dollar value, my guess is it's probably in hundreds of billions, if not $1 trillion, you know, sharing economy. Those are US-based firms. Those US-based firms and those particular applications were only successful as the carriers like Verizon built out these robust networks and smartphones, and everybody started having a mobile first experience, right? So when you look at the Department of Energy, one of the things they do a lot, right, which I think is a great thing, they work with the Department of Defense. Department of Defense has a very big mission right now. They see a strategic advantage of actually working with 5G companies, but more importantly, developing 5G technology here within the United States. In a lot of cases, they collaborate with the Department of Energy and some of the labs to actually be partners or actually solicit feedback from them in terms of grants or formal solicitations for feedback on 5G technology. And where Verizon comes into the play is being a supplier to both the DOD and Department of Energy. And we do work with academia. We have worked specifically with the DOE in terms of some advanced testing. At various locations, we do participate upon request, and obviously from vetting in terms of different offices, ethic offices, we do participate in panels and discussions where we can educate on where we're going and our point of view and where the industry and why we're doing what we're doing, because it's our best interest from a nation state standpoint, because we are critical infrastructure, right? As I mentioned before, you know, a lot of energy companies use Verizon to actually provide connectivity not only to the bucket trucks, to the men and women to do repair lines, but also when you get into AMI or AMR, automatic meter reading, a lot of utility companies use Verizon for that connectivity. So when you look at cybersecurity threats And as things become less, more things become connected, but also disconnected via physical lines, it makes it a possible ripe environment for adversaries to take advantage of that. So it's collective and in our best interest to work with the Department of Energy as well as other partners from DOD as well as CISA under DHS to collaborate to make sure that whatever we're developing, it meets various standards from a federal, state, and local level, but also more importantly, collaborate so we can develop the next generations, the next Ubers, the next Airbnbs, right? We want to actually enable that so firms can take at that. But more importantly, from the nation state standpoint, where do we stand from a socioeconomic level on the world stage? So it's very important.
Now, before we wrap up, Brian, do you have any final thoughts you would like to share with our listeners today?
It's always a great opportunity to work with the Department of Energy. We consider it an honor and a privilege to work with these individuals. I would tell you my experience and the work that they do, especially among the lab facilities. They have our best interests at the heart from a nation, which makes me feel good and pumped up. But I also see the competitiveness among themselves in terms of the lab facilities, right? Where this particular lab is really focused on 5G from this level. This lab facility here is trying to test this in 5G and run this application, right? So with all of these different experiments and research and development projects going on, they're really pushing the bar on what 5G can do. And as a carrier standpoint, we really want to see, because we don't know what the full potential could be with 5G. And I think Department of Energy, they have some really smart people out there. They're really pushing that envelope, and we're looking forward to some of those results. So thank you again for the opportunity. It's always a great opportunity to talk about this technology, but more importantly, a great organization like the Department of Energy and their respective energy labs and the work that they do specifically around 5G.
Thank you, Brian, for joining us today, and a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in as well. If you'd like to stay up to date on the latest best practices, lessons learned, and proven strategies for leveraging innovative technologies in federal, state, and local government, be sure to visit us at governmenttechnologyinsider.com. I've been your host, Lucas Hunziker, and until next time, so long.